God bless you. Dios les bendiga. Please stand up to read the Bible. Sorry, I used to carry my Bible. You suppose that, you know, all evangelical people is taking the Bible. La parábola del buen samaritano. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your presence in our life. In the name of Jesus.
That was Kira Lopez from Nicaragua. She is works with an amazing organization called Agros. And it's amazing to me, all these people coming to us are speaking to us in English, which is their second language. And I remember the first time that I was in the Democratic Republic of Congo, I know very little French, but it's 7 o'clock in the morning. You may only get this if you understand French, but I stood up at 7 o'clock in the morning and said bonsoir to everybody. And the translator said, he just said good evening. So I am grateful that these sisters and brothers are here, speaking in our language, doing all the work to communicate with us. And they've done a fantastic job challenging us this weekend, and we are very grateful for them. I want to introduce you to Johanna Catenaccio. He is on the staff of Bethlehem Bible College and Galilee Bible College. I've been one trip to Israel and to Palestine, and I have... It's transformed my life, and I look forward to coming back. And he's the author of numerous books. There's a line here in this biography in your bulletin. You can read more about him. He's educated here in the U.S., and he's a Palestinian scholar who has translated several books from English to Arabic. What I hope is going to happen is the books that he's written in Arabic are going to be translated into English so we can benefit from his wisdom. So would you welcome Johanna Catenaccio? Let me just pray for our brother. God, we thank you for this brother in Christ. We thank you for his journey. We thank you for his family. We pray for his wife and his 3 amazing little boys as they wait the arrival of their father home this week. We pray that you would bless him, that you would give him a tremendous sense of your presence as he preaches to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, or in English, bonsoir. I am glad to be with you this very day. You know, I am Yohanna Catanacho. I was born in Jerusalem in 1967, and I grew up on Via Della Rosa, station number 8. So if you walk by, that's where I used to live. Now I live in Nazareth, and I teach in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and in Galilee area, different towns, spreading the word of God and having the great privilege of being in towns that have rich history, yet there are also deep trouble in the same land. The question that really came to my mind as I was looking at the text of the Good Samaritan is, how can I be a good neighbor? Because Hailu has spoke about this during the conference, and he pointed out very clearly that the text is really not about who is my neighbor, but it's more about how can I become a good neighbor. And as I was reading this text, I was like wondering, how does this look like through Palestinian eyes? Because I grew up in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is divided into 4 different quarters, if you know, like the old city. There is like the Muslim quarter, there is the Christian quarter, there is the Armenian quarter, and there is the Jewish quarter. And we as kids, we used to play in the Christian quarter. For me, we wouldn't go to the Muslim quarter, or wouldn't go to the Jewish quarter, or even the Armenian quarter, even though my mom is Armenian. So the thing is, it's like it was difficult. How would we relate to our neighbors? We read this text. As I was contemplating over this text more and more, I said, okay, I'll rewrite this text, okay? We sometimes, biblical scholars have crazy ideas, okay? So bear with me. I'll rewrite this text in my own culture, in my own language. And I said, you know, this text is actually a conversation between a Messianic Jew and a Jewish settler. The Messianic Jew was telling the Jewish settler, you know, a Jewish settler was asking, how do I inherit eternal life? And the Messianic Jew was basically in enmity with the Jewish settler, and he said, what does the law of Moses teaches? So then the Jewish settler said, you know, the law of Moses basically teaches you shall love God from all your heart, from all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, even though the Jewish settler already hated the Messianic Jew. And today, there are a lot of Messianic Jews who are oppressed because of Israeli fundamentalist movements. So the Messianic Jew was looking at this and said, you know, let me tell you a story. There was once a settler, I mean, there was once a man, a Jewish man, going driving from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, as he driving, he was caught up in a demonstration between Palestinians and the Israelis. This is my own reading of the Samaritan, okay, the Good Samaritan. And he was caught up in that demonstration. And as he was caught in that demonstration, there were tear gas, they were throwing stones. It was a mess, balagan, they say in Hebrew. It was a mess. And so, what was going on? Then the guy was injured. The car really stopped, and then some people came and beat this man up, and he was half dead. Everyone left. No one knew, recognized this man because, you know, Jericho, it's really tough time, tough places. When you go, like as you drive there, it's dry, it's wilderness. Even your ears, as you feel them like hurting you as you go down, it's very low. So the thing is, this man was left alone, and then another Jewish settler was driving by. And he saw the man, and, you know, like he basically said, you know, what can I do? I'll just continue my own way. And then a Jewish rabbi was driving. He actually stopped the car, came out, looked at the injured person, and he said, oh, you know, forget it. I'll just go back. I have an important meeting, and I have really commitments. I can't really take care of this man. So he carried on with his journey. Then a Palestinian was driving. And the Palestinian stopped and saw this person injured. So he stopped his car. He came to this Jewish settler, Jewish man that was injured. And basically, this is the same man that confiscates his land, that, you know, like that participates in putting the checkpoints. He decided, this Palestinian, to take this Jewish settler who was injured, put him in his car, take him to the hospital. And going to the hospital, endangering his own status, because the Israeli police might come and say, you know, what have you done? You know, this man is perhaps unconscious or something like that. And so he put him in the hospital. He pays from his own pocket money, and he stays with the man all night long. And here he basically, you know, forgets all of his other commitments, gives all his time to this man, and takes care of him, and pays from his own pocket, and gives the people at the hospital his own phone number, and says, if anything happens, please call me, and I'll be glad to take care of this man. Who do you think the Messianic Jew is asking the Jewish settler? Who do you think is their neighbor? Now imagine what kind of reaction that Jewish settler would have. I mean, he's already in enmity with the Messianic Jew. Now he is more in enmity with him. He is furious. It's not easy. The story that Jesus tells, in my opinion, is trying to deconstruct the theology and the worldview of this person who was reading the law. They have a certain perception when they look at it. Jesus was looking at the perceptions of this man and was saying, you know, you have a theology that is based basically on seeking inheritance. You want to do things. You want to be active. You are an activist. What can I do in order to inherit? Well, hello, excuse me. You don't do to inherit. You are the son of so-and-so, so you become a person who inherit. You just don't do things in order to inherit. But this man had the mentality of activism, and he wants even to get the blessings of God basically by doing works. The Holy Land is full today of people who have such theology. They want to do things in order to bring the inheritance. A lot of people who have certain theologies, they said, God promised us this land, and they want to do things. They want to kill others. They want to, ethnic cleansing even from other nations in the name of God, because they want to do things in order to inherit. And it's very dangerous when we become so focused on the inheritance. Jesus recognized this in this man. Actually, this is an old problem, because even at the time of Hagar and Sarah, who were supposed to be a blessing of Abraham and Sarah, who were supposed to be a blessing to the whole world. They were living in the Holy Land. They had the promise from God to be a blessing and light to the whole world. Yet Hagar was living in their own home, and she did not experience that blessing. In fact, Sarah beat her up, according to the Hebrew word, beta'aneha. She oppressed her, beating her up. And so she escaped. She emigrated. She was in the Holy Land. She was with the Holy Family. But she escaped, because God was not there. God was in the wilderness, met that woman, transformed her life, and sent her back. El Roi, the God who provides, sent her back to tell Abraham and Sarah that God is with the marginalized. God is the weak. Jesus wants to deconstruct the perception of this scholar who comes to Christ to test him. His theology was basically seeking inheritance. In addition to that, his theology separated holiness from charity. I mean, this man, he knew his book well. Jesus asked him, what does the law teaches? And man, you know, like, I even have had time repeating the phrases sometimes from the Bible. But this guy, like, goes on and on. Well, in fact, it seems like this is what was part of the Shema, the Hear, O Israel. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Ahavta, and you shall love your God. And then the same expression is used in Leviticus about loving the neighbor. So Jews sometimes they look at expressions and put them together. Ve'ahavta et re'echa, and you shall love your neighbor, your relative, your friend. The Hebrew word there could mean relative, friend, or neighbor. So it's a little bit ambiguous. So perhaps this is part of the challenge that this person is having. Like, he maybe believes that the neighbors is mainly his own people. Jesus wants to deconstruct that understanding where people read the Bible, know the Bible, talk about love, but don't live out love. Someone prayed once, Lord, I don't want to be like a radio. I want to be like a TV. Lord, I don't want for people to hear only my words. I want them also to see my life as I speak. This guy was acting as a radio. He was talking about love, but he was hating Jesus himself. He was separating holiness from charity. He was, in fact, someone who had an ethnocentric perception. He was someone, his theology was basically focused on his own people, on his own nation, without regarding others who are living in the land. The story between the Samaritans and the Jews, the enmity between them, started long time ago when there was the divided kingdom. And that divided kingdom then separated at the time of Solomon, divided the kingdom divided. Then we have the people in the land, northern parts of Israel, in 722 BC, the Assyrians came and destroyed Samaria, and took the people captive, and brought many nations from around the world, and put them in these same lands. Some people stayed in the land, some people were taken captive. The people who stayed intermarried with each other, and the children, who were partly from the tribes of Israel, partly from other tribes, became the Samaritans. So these Samaritans were considered enemies because they are not pure. Because they are not according to our own standards of living, our own perception of godliness, of holiness. So they are rejected. So the enmity continues. Ezra comes back and he wants to rebuild the temple. This is after, you know, like, the Jews, the temple was destroyed in 586 BC. They were in exile by the Babylonians. But then later, many years later, they started coming back. And when they were coming back, they want to rebuild the temple. So the Samaritans want to participate. They say, no. Stay away from us. And then we see that later the Samaritans build their own temple in Gerizim, on Mount Gerizim in Nablus area today. So, which is a Palestinian town. And by the way, there are Samaritans until today who are Palestinians. So, which is interesting for me. But anyway, so the thing is, the man here, what happens is that the enmity continues. The Samaritans got so angry with the Jew, and the Jews got so angry with the Samaritan. They built the temple. So later, some guy called John Hyrcanus comes and destroy the Samaritan temple. The Samaritans wants to get revenge, so they bring bones, they put them in the temple in Jerusalem in order to defile the temple. The Jews got upset. How can the Samaritan do that? So now they started calling each other's bad names. I don't know if you do that, but anyway. They started calling each other bad names. The enmity is really rising now. So they said, the Samaritan said, I mean, listen to this. This is like really inventing even new things. The Samaritan said, you know what? Eve got married to Satan and brought the forefather of the Jews. This is how the Jews came. The Jews at that time, I mean, they were not trying to lose the battle. Well, who is more evil? We will show you who is more evil. You Samaritans are actually the sons of Satan. And if a Jew would even say the word Samaritan, that is a curse. This is what happens to Jesus Christ in John 8. They say, aren't you a Samaritan and the son of Satan? Remember that, you know? Like they were cursing him when they were telling him, aren't you a Samaritan? It's like, for example, a person comes to a Palestinian and say, you are a Zionist. Among Palestinians, that means like you are a traitor. And this is like what was going on. There is enmity, there is there. For me, I experienced enmity in my life. As a Palestinian, I became a follower of Christ and I hated Jewish soldiers. But as I go from out of my home, many times people will ask me for my ID card. And as they ask for my ID card, I felt so humiliated. I felt so marginalized. And I started praying. I was reading in the Bible, you know, like, love your enemies. I mean, come on, love your enemies. That's so hard. Who is my neighbor? It's perhaps the one who I hate. And God was challenging me time after time. So I started, you know, putting a pamphlet in my ID card called Real Love, a quotation from Isaiah 53. And when some of the soldiers will stop me and I would pull out my ID card and I will give it to them and say, what is this? I would say, this is how God wants me to relate to you. Because I really didn't want to tell them, this is how I feel about you. I mean, I really wanted to kill them if I can. But this is how God wants me to how to relate to you. And they say, oh, that's great, you know, let's talk about it. And we talk a little bit about the Old Testament, which they call Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, it's an acronym. And they wouldn't call the Old Testament, but anyway, I like the Presbyterian, one of the documents, how they described it, the Older Testament. But anyway, that's... So the thing is, it's like there was this discussion, and as we were, day after day, God started changing my heart. I would go in the same streets and see the same people and pray, Lord, please let them stop me so that I can share the love of Christ with them. One night, I was doing photocopying for pamphlets for the church in Arabic. During those times, it was a season which there were a lot of political flyers going around. And the Israeli government had regulations to their soldiers. If you ask a Palestinian to stop and they don't, you are allowed to shoot at them. And here I was working with the photocopier. I don't know, I have a history of interaction. Technology always has challenges with me. I don't know. So it seems like even with the photocopier at that time didn't work. I had to struggle. And then all of a sudden, you know, I got things done, but it was late at night, almost midnight. Midnight, going down to one of the gates of Jerusalem. A little bit chilly. I had my leather jacket on. Damascus Gate, if you know. I was going down the stairs, approaching. Lo and behold, three soldiers sitting at the gate. One of them pointed at me. That finger, if I don't listen to it, I could be shot. So I approached these three soldiers. Please don't try this at home, okay? I opened the zipper of my jacket quickly. The three soldiers were terrified. I put my hand on my heart and looked at them. They pulled their machine guns and put it towards my face. They thought I'm going to attack them. I put my hand on my heart and said, I love you. There was a moment of silence that fell forever for me. But then the guns gone down. God deconstructed my hatred and put love. This scholar who came to Jesus, he had a theology that lacks love. Jesus challenges him. He has a theology that is ethnocentric. Jesus challenges him, is your heart big enough to include other nations? Is your heart big enough to contemplate and think of others who are different? Jesus does not want an exclusivist approach in loving others. We don't just love those who love us. In fact, we love those who don't love us. We love those who don't act right towards us. In addition to that, and I would end with this, this guy's theology lacks mercy. He doesn't have compassion. He doesn't have a feeling in which to help the helpless. When he sees the children of Gaza dead, hundreds, thousands are in trauma. Thousands are in shock, losing their own childhood. Perhaps the man would come and say, well, there is a theological verse in the Bible can justify that. You know, there'll be killing and bloodshed and the end days and etc., etc., etc. A theology without mercy. And Christ was challenging that. Perhaps this scholar was the Jonah of the first century. And perhaps we have also the Jonahs of the 21st century, in which we take God's words and forget God's heart. We interpret the Bible through means in which we make theology devoid of mercy. Jonah did that, and God surprised him. God said, no, Jonah. Bad theology. And I think we cannot really follow God without mercy. When we see the Arab-Israeli conflict, when we see the marginalized around the world, when we see Jesus Christ standing at a checkpoint, not able to go to the hospital, when we see Jesus Christ in prison, when we see Jesus Christ hungry, because there is curfew and there is no food to be passed on to him. What will we do? How do we become a good neighbor? Let us pray. Father, forgive me for not being a good neighbor. Forgive me for so many times acting in ways that are not in harmony with your own heart. Help me to be a good neighbor. Help me to love the Muslims. Help me to love the Jews. Help me to love the refugees. Help me to love the poor. Help me, Lord, to love the sick. Help me to love those who are so different from me. You might ask me today, who is the Samaritan in my life? Perhaps it's a relative. Perhaps it's someone at church. Help me, Lord, to transform that Samaritan from an enemy into a hero, so that will be the hero of my life by your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.